Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
That really was a phenomenal story there from Dara of Hermitage Green, and great to hear the new single, which is called Flutes as well. Now, how much of a threat is Joe Biden's age to his chances of re-election? Well, polls have shown that many Americans believe that the US president is too old to be effective, and videos of the Democratic incumbent allegedly freezing at public events have been circulated widely by political opponents to suggest he's no longer fit for office. Well, to discuss this, I'm joined now by Larry Donnelly, who's a law lecturer at the University of Galway. Larry's here with me in the studio, and consultant geriatrician at Talla University Hospital, Ronan Collins, is on the line too. So now, Larry, those clips that I mentioned, we know some of them have been edited in a misleading way to shed a very poor light on Joe Biden and how he is. But how big of an issue do you say Joe Biden's age and health and condition is for voters?
It's a very big issue. And the polling data, Claire, suggests that time and time again. The overwhelming majority of Americans believe that Joe Biden is too old to be an effective president. And the thing, the important thing, and I'm not a doctor and I'll defer to Ronan on lots of these things, is we all know 81-year-olds who can do anything, whereas fit and strong and healthy and everything else as someone 30 or 40 years younger. Joe Biden, however, I don't think fits that category. At least the majority of American people don't think that. And whether that's down to the videos, whether that's down to some of the speeches they hear, the questions about his mobility, whatever it might be, they have those doubts. And it is a real problem for him as he seeks re-election. Mm.
So you say that. And then on the other hand, I'm thinking of the last time I watched him closely when he was at the G7 and he made the announcement of further funding for Ukraine. And he comes out and he walks up to the podium and he delivers a flawless speech to announce a major initiative. So how does that sit with people thinking he's not fit to do the job?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that he has some great moments. I mean, he can still perform. He can still rise to the occasion. He did so also, most notably, I think, this year in the State of the Union address. So he has those very strong moments. But it doesn't erase the doubts that the American people have, and they continue to have. And the issue here is that the Democratic Party knew from a very early stage that this was a problem, and that the age issue was going to be the most significant impediment, perhaps, to Biden winning a second term. Yet he managed effectively, he and his team, to box off the nomination process and sail to victory when there were indeed a number of serious, credible challenges looking at taking him on.
So is it perception or reality?
In politics, perception matters 100 times more than reality. That's the truth of the matter. And the perception among a vast swathe of the electorate is that Joe Biden, you know, at 81 now, he would be 85, 86 when he finishes, that they just don't think he has the stamina to be effective as president of the United States. And that perception is not going away.
Okay, well, let's bring in Professor Ronan Collins, who's listening to all of that. And thank you for joining us today. Do you think it's fair to focus on Joe Biden's age and capability?
I think focusing on a person's age isn't necessarily the right thing and the message we want to be sending out. But certainly medical fitness to do a job is probably a discussion that not only applies to the president or leader of a country, but also applies to other kind of other occupations like being pilots, for example, you know, even doctors, being judges, you know, and Larry's own profession. And so I suppose that kind of feel like that medical probity is a discussion that increasingly has been having, we are having. It's interesting when you look at across the world, actually, in terms of the age of our leaders, it's probably true to say that in most European and Western countries, what you tend to find is where you have a democratically elected prime minister, we tend to be getting younger prime ministers and older presidents. But there has been an increase in the mean age of our leaders overall. But I think when you've got high profile countries like US with a leader of Joe Biden, and he's far from the oldest person, the president of Cameroon, has been in power for 47 years, Paul Biya, he's in his 90s. We've had other examples, for example, Queen Elizabeth II was a very effective monarch and was 94 when she passed away. And so it isn't about the age, but I do think in the general sense about medical probity and having that insight and being declared fit, that's an interesting conversation.
And we do have...
I mean, it does affect world politics. It does affect world politics. You know, there have been examples in the past, for example, Woodrow Wilson appeared quite confused when he was at the peace conference in Paris after the First World War. In fact, some people said it was his wife and his daughter were running affairs. Franklin D. Roosevelt probably wasn't at his best at the Yalta peace conference. There may have been concerns about Paul von Hindenburg and Philippe Pétain allowing the rise of Nazism due to cognitive frailties themselves. So, and there may have been some suggestions that the whole Arab Spring arose from the Ben Ali's own cognitive frailty in charge of Tunisia, which sparked the whole thing. So it can impact on world politics. That is an interesting thing. Yeah. But you would be expecting in a democracy like the States that Joe Biden, even if he has medical conditions, that he's got a team and an able cabinet around him advising him on making those decisions.
Yeah, we do have medical tests and cognitive tests, but we don't get to hear about the results in any full way. I mean, people will remember Donald Trump saying, I have a full bill of health and I'm the healthiest president who ever occupied this office. Do you think it might be of benefit, Ronan, to have access to the results of those tests in this case?
Well, again, I would argue and contend that even if you were, for example, to have a condition, that mightn't necessarily preclude you from being a good leader, because a good leader often is reflective, takes time, weighs up the, if you like, the pros and cons of any decision, and also would seek counsel from a cabinet around them. So, for example, people like Ronald Reagan had Alzheimer's, dementia in office. And a lot of Americans would feel that, you know, his administration was a good administration for America. There have also been examples where leaders developed dementia shortly after being in office, like, for example, Margaret Thatcher, George W. Bush Sr. And, of course, we know now that cognitive frailties often precede a formal diagnosis by many, many years, and that may or may not have affected their performance in government. But, you know, these are all issues that, you know, generally we're going to affect us all at some stage or the other. And I suppose what I would be arguing that across the board is that it's not about an age. It may not even be about a disease specific, but it's about having a medical assessment of fitness to do the job. There are some warning signs. The literature does show some warning signs. For example, if you're to look out for a leader that, you know, may show some warning signs, record of failures and how a leader deals with them. Certainly signs of physical frailty may be a warning sign, but not the total thing. A communication style that is rambling, full of ideological phrases rather than focused kind of pragmatism, that may be a warning sign, etc., etc. And then, of course, people who have tightly knitted groups that in themselves may be manipulating them around their own self-interest may be warning signs. But I suppose going back to the heart of this matter, I think there's a lot of focus on this because a lot of people are looking in and saying, why doesn't America have younger, more fitter candidates running? That's a question for the American political system.
That is a huge question. It's a huge question, isn't it? Because I think Larry might tell us here, you know, when Joe Biden ran for the first term, I don't think anybody thought that he would be doing, including himself, that he would be going for a second one. But there didn't seem to be anybody else they could agree on the Democratic side.
Well, I don't think that's true. I think that there are a number of very capable people who could have come forward. Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, all of whom were very strong candidates. The problem, as Ronan alludes to, is actually a systemic problem. And it has to do with the disproportionate role played by insiders and by money in American politics. The reality is that Joe Biden has been in politics forever. He's been running for president of the United States for decades. In the course of that process, he's made a lot of careers. There are a lot of people who owe their existence in Washington, D.C. to Joe Biden. The Democratic National Committee is largely owned by Joe Biden. So at every corner, at every turn, nothing but obstacles were confronted by anyone who wanted to choose him, who wanted to take him on. And let's face it, being in the incumbent president of the United States is an extraordinarily powerful position. And I would just point to one point in time in history. In 1980, Jimmy Carter was about the most unpopular president you could imagine. Ted Kennedy, Democratic royalty, tried to take him on and got absolutely destroyed. So the president, the incumbent president of the United States, is almost impenetrable to a primary challenge for all of the systemic reasons that I mentioned. And as much as anything else, the fact that we have Joe Biden going again is a systemic problem. I think on the other side, and I think people rightly point to Donald Trump, he's no kid either. And he certainly has exhibited his own signs.
He forgot the name of the doctor who was trying to cite there recently, who had given him a full bill of health, hadn't he?
Absolutely. Yeah. In his instance, I would say to you that it's a rather unique circumstance. It's a cult of personality that has sprung up around him among conservatives, which, you know, still to this day confounds me.
Yeah, but the Democrats have put themselves in a very high risk position by insisting on Joe Biden being their candidate. And we'll see how this plays out when we get to the debate between Trump and Biden on Thursday of this week.
Yeah, it will be make or break time. Now, it should be said that the conditions of the debate, that is, there's no studio audience, the microphones will be shut off, so there'll be no interrupting. The conditions of the debate are as favorable to Joe Biden as they possibly could be. And people have pointed to the speech he made recently, the State of the Union was another, where he has risen to the occasion. However, this is very, very different. He's going to be going up against a guy who's going to do everything he can to get under his skin. And the potential for Biden to have a bad moment, I don't think it's likely, but it is a very real one. And if he were to have a bad moment, it could set off a sequence of events that I think, again, would be calamitous in American politics and would make Democrats and Democratic operatives deeply regret the decision that they've made.
Yeah, we have to be very careful here, Ron, and I'm sure you'd agree not to be ageist about this, because if you have people suggesting that there should be an age cutoff point and you can't run for high office beyond that, well, you're shutting off that avenue to power for a lot of people who are still very capable and able.
Yeah, and I think we should remember that the Roman word senis is derived from senex, meaning an old person. And that probably reflected the cultural belief that, you know, an older person at that time must have done something right to get to where they were and must have had a lot of knowledge that would be useful to the community in leading them. So I think that's a useful thing to remember. I mean, I had the same discussion almost 10 years ago when President Higgins was running the first time for president, and people felt in Ireland he might be too old. Now, not only has he been a great president for the first term, he's been a solid president for the second term as well, and he's had his own health problems, which he's been quite public about, and is still leading us well from the front. So again, I personally don't think that an age is a preclusion. I personally don't think that any one medical condition may necessarily be a preclusion either. But I do think there needs to be a discussion about, if you like, medical probity in undertaking an office. And that requires as well a degree of self-reflection by all of us. And you would expect good leaders to have that inherent sense of self-reflection and to listen to those around them if they feel that they may not be up to the job. I suppose the most famous example was probably President Deschanel in France, who recognised himself that he was a little bit impetuous, maybe that he started his behaviour, became a little bit erratic when he was president in France, and he himself kind of like took himself out of the game in the 20s, I think. So you do need that sense of self-reflection and you do need people around you that you trust to hold the mirror up to you and say, that all being said, and I'm listening with great interest as to what Larry has said, because certainly there's an element of, if you like, almost clientelism here. If Joe has surrounded himself, President Biden has surrounded himself with people that he owes a lot to, that may colour what they are saying to him. But a true advisor and a true friend would tell you that, listen, you are fit for the job or you're not fit for the job. And he's obviously trusting the people he has around him.
Yeah,
and, you know, so far, I think most of us looking on from the outside world in would say that, you know, without dealing with the economic economic issues, that, you know, he's been a reasonably, you know, solid enough president. I think on the world stage there might be some doubts about maybe how much pressure he should put on Israel, but I think other than that he's been a pretty solid from a neutral point of view looking in and as a non-politician.
Listen, there's no doubt about whether he is going to be the candidate, Larry. Let's just say it does go wrong on Thursday. Have the Democrats got a backup plan?
Well, the backup plan were there to, you know, again, it's very late in the day. But if there were to be a backup plan, it would be a brokered convention, a convention which Biden would step aside. And there would be a battle on the floor in August at the convention to see who could acquire the most delegates and therefore become the nominee. As indicated before, that would be quite a calamitous situation. You know, who would emerge is anybody's guess. But I think that that kind of chaos is not what the Democratic Party wants ahead of facing into a match against Donald Trump. The reality at this stage is Biden is the person they have backed. He's the person who's there. He is determined by all accounts that he will be taking on Donald Trump and seeking a second term. Thursday will be very interesting. And again, I expect that Joe Biden is going to be casting a very critical eye on Donald Trump and a convicted felon and all those sorts of other things. But the problem from his point of view is that his appeal now is, I'm better than Donald Trump. It's not, I've done a great job, I've done this, et cetera. And he has done a reasonably good job. It's not that. It's going to be running against Trump and getting the American people to say, I'm a better choice than Trump. And that's about it.
All right. A lot hinges on Thursday then. We'll be watching that closely. Larry, thank you very much for coming in. Larry Donnelly and Ronan Collins joined us there too. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.